Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
You can wrap this one, my friend, in maroon and white. 10 seconds, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Bingo!
You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else.
It's Wednesday night. You know what that means. It's Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Haydad. Rhino is in Studio X. He may at some point just yell out, "Goal!" You never know. I know what he's doing down there. It's fine. If any man is capable of multitasking, it is Rhino. And, of course, we are presented by our friends over at Dossett Big Four in Tupelo. Dossett Big Four, oh, I don't know, 47 years? Think they know how to take care of their customers? Think they know how to get you a great deal on a car and then give you great service and great friendly dealership? I think so. I think that's what 47 years will tell you. And so if you're looking for a new or pre-owned vehicle right now, go see my friends at Dossett Big Four, 628 South Gloucester in Tupelo, or look online, DossettBig4.com. Ah, busy day for our friend Brian O'Connor. Not so much on the field, obviously, the season is over, but busy in the transfer portal. Shout out to Robbie Falk, who's no longer with us, for breaking news right as we go on the air. I appreciate you, Robbie. Carter White is the name. North Florida, University of North Florida in the A-Sun Conference. Stats from a season ago, .302 batting average, 11 doubles, 11 home runs, slug 581, OPS of 963. Played some second base for North Florida, so could potentially come in, compete with Sean James at that second base spot. Could be an outfielder for Mississippi State, played at that position as well. But looks like a quality bat. One thing I've liked about almost all of State's transfers from a hitting perspective are double-digit home run guys at their previous stop. And so you hope that power can translate. As we know, at Duty Noble Field is a hitter's park. It is a park where the ball can fly out, especially for some left-handers. So you've got some guys there that I think it's going to translate well. Brady Christman is a double-digit home run guy. Jake Souders is a double-digit home run guy. Josiah Overbeek, double-digit home runs. Nolan Grawley, double-digit home runs. And now Carter White, double-digit home runs. So, you had to put power into this lineup. You had to put that in there to protect Jacob Parker. And I think Brian O'Connor to this point has done a good job. One of the questions about this upcoming season is going to be the catcher spot. Or I should say the offseason, because we're not entirely sure what's going to happen with Kevin Malewski. To this point, has not announced he's returning to Mississippi State, has not announced that he's putting his name into the draft. Lets me believe that he's going to see where the draft takes him. Wants to see where he can end up, and if he gets a deal that he wants, if he can get a signing bonus, if he can get a situation that he likes, he'll go. He does have another year remaining to play at Mississippi State. My guess is, and this is just a guess, but State could probably make him an NIL deal comparable, if not better, than what he would receive. Because I don't think he's a top 10 round guy. So you're talking about, later into the process, could State match the kind of signing bonus it's offered? Probably very easily, I would think. But State could not take the risk of waiting that out and then finding out last minute that there was going to be a change. So they went out and got a guy who's one of the top catchers in the portal. From Oregon, Berkeley Mabius. Now, when I say Berkeley, hold on. Rhino, I hope you're sitting down for this spelling of Berkeley. All right, it's not what you think. B-U-R-K-E hyphen L-E-E. Berkeley Mabius. First off, Berkeley Mabius sounds like a Jedi master. All right, right off the top, if you had told me that Qui-Gon Jinn, Obi-Wan Kenobi, and Berkeley Mabius were sent to Coruscant to meet with the High Chancellor, I wouldn't have any problem buying into that. This guy, though, 286, eight home runs on the season for the Oregon Ducks, who are a pretty good baseball team. Lost in the Super Regionals, obviously, to Texas. But it has the analytics of an elite defensive catcher. Threw out 13 base runners a season ago. State has struggled throwing base runners out since the last time Logan Tanner was behind the plate. They just have not had guys behind the plate that you could just trust to throw out runners. Maybe this gives you a little bit of that. Also, this guy, I don't quite understand the analytics of it. I won't try to pretend that I do. But has a reputation as a top-notch pitch framer, a guy who can steal you a couple of strikes a game. And when you're talking about Mississippi State's pitching staff next year, which we all expect to be one of the top pitching staffs in the country, you're bringing back Valinkis, you're bringing back McPherson, you're bringing back Stone, Bauer, Miller, Gleason. These were guys who performed well in SEC play this year. You've added a couple of good pieces thus far in the portal. You expect those guys to throw strikes and get a lot of strikeouts anyway, but if I can get a couple more here and there, that's a big deal. That's a big deal. So for Mississippi State thus far in the portal, I feel like they're up to a good start. Who's the Sith Lord for college baseball? Tony Vitello would have been the easy choice last year. Now that he's gone, Schlossnagel maybe? I don't know if that's the right answer, though, or not. Vitello would have been the super easy answer. But now that he's in the pros, we can't go that. It's a good question, though. Are we sure that Lee isn't his last name? Like Lee Roth? Well, as we learned, Lee Roth is not his last name. His last name is just Roth. It's David Lee Roth. I thought everybody knew that. Didn't we all? Didn't we all know that? What I would say for Mississippi State is 64 Analytics, which is a premium college baseball site that they have an interesting way of the way they grade the transfer portal. They take into account who you lose and who you bring in. But they have State as the number two transfer portal class in the country right now, with seven top 250 players committed to them. This player today, Mabius, was, I think, number 61 in their rankings. So a really nice – O'Connor's doing a great job. And there's no reason to – there was never a reason to doubt. There was never a reason to think that it wasn't going to be this way. At State, you know, we've talked about it before. State is going to put resources into baseball now, and we're about to have the football discussion in just a few minutes. But I want to stress again that it doesn't mean they're not taken away from football to give to baseball. Now, you could make the argument that the stuff that's going to baseball could go to football, and if you want to make that argument as taken away, that's fine. But what I'm saying is if baseball is X and football is Y, they're not subtracting from Y and sending it over to X. It's not Y minus Z equals X plus Z, I promise. But you can make the argument that, well, they shouldn't be doing any of this. I disagree because I know that baseball is important to Mississippi State, and I understand that, you know, it's a sport they can compete for championships in. I don't have a problem with what they're doing with the baseball program. I would obviously like the football program to be better. We'll talk more about that in just a few minutes. But year two of, I mean, that's the thing, though, is I'm going to set my expectations high for this baseball team going into next season. This is a roster and a pitching staff that will be preseason top five, the same way that it was this year. But with a second year of everything, of O'Connor and Starkville, of Valinkis and McPherson as starters, and Stone as starters in the SEC, Parker as a sophomore, Overbeek and Chrisman, who are top-notch freshmen this year, another year of experience for them, I'm going to make the expectation of Omaha. And if I don't get that, I'm going to label that a disappointing season for Mississippi State. And I think I'm fair in doing that. I understand how hard it is to get to the College World Series. It's tough to be one of the last eight teams standing, especially in a sport where if you get hot, you don't necessarily have to be one of the best eight teams. Oklahoma won the national title this year, but it was at any point prior to them winning the national title, was Oklahoma one of the best eight teams in the country? No. Is Troy one of the best, most talented teams in the country? No. Is Ole Miss even? No. I mean, Mississippi State beat Ole Miss four times this year, but Ole Miss gets to go to Omaha. Who had the better season? I would submit that it's Ole Miss because they got to go to Omaha. That's the goal. So it's not necessarily all the time that the best team wins, but you got to give yourself the best chance to win. And that's, you do that by having the best roster. And right now, Mississippi State is putting together why that's going to be. And I think that it's going to be good. I'm honestly more concerned for basketball this year than football. That's not good. Well, we'll talk. I understand. Right now, there is a lot of apathy for football at Mississippi State. You know, I think it's probably going to show in your season ticket sales. You know, I would expect another year of looking across at the east side there and seeing a lot of the opposing team's jerseys. I think that's just a very valid concern right this second. We'll talk more about that in just a minute. We're going to talk about Mississippi State from a big picture perspective. Not necessarily, you know, it's a result of these high school recruiting things that have happened the past few days, but it's something bigger than that that's happening at Mississippi State. And that's not happening at Mississippi State. We're going to talk about that when we come back, though. This is Thunder and Lightning Live, Super Talk Mississippi. Appreciate you guys joining me here on a Wednesday night. We are presented by DOS at Big Four, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Hey, folks, I'm in.
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
Listen up! There is a storm coming!
Thunder and Lightning, Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Haydad. Appreciate you guys joining me on a Wednesday evening. If you want to join the show, do it on the C Spire text line, 601-879-4395. I'm going to read this text here. The problem with Mississippi State football is not losing. It is not being competitive. Mississippi State has never been a football dynasty, but when you're competitive, you at least think you have a chance. Now we have no confidence in the coach, and we do not even think we have a chance to win, especially after last year. There were numerous chances to win, and it did not happen. This is a sentiment that I hear a lot, you know, talking to Mississippi State fans. And I don't know if apathy is the right word, because I think they still care. Apathy is a lack of caring. I think these fans still care. They're just so disillusioned right now. And obviously a big piece of that is what's happened in Oxford. You know, seeing Ole Miss be as successful as they have, while Mississippi State has been at its lowest point in two decades, that's going to strike a nerve. But I think if Ole Miss was successful and Mississippi State was successful, you know, 2014, 2015, those kind of years, if both teams were having those kind of years, you know, it would be obviously lessened. State right now is in a spot where they're just not sure about the future. And they are looking at a coach who last year could have completely rewritten the narrative about himself. Had an opportunity to win some games that, had he won them, it's incredible the difference. Even one of those games, if you say this holds on to beat Tennessee, if they hold on to beat Texas, if they don't throw an interception and kick a field goal and beat Florida, and State finishes that season 6-6, I think the narrative around Lebby is totally different than it is today. Now, this week has been a rough one for Mississippi State on the high school recruiting front. You've seen Ole Miss pick up. Well, they didn't pick. They had a weird situation, but they got a commitment back in the boat, and they got two more four-star kids. These kids are from Ackerman, Louisville, and Tupelo. Those are three areas that Mississippi State has traditionally recruited very well. Two of them are 30 minutes away from the MSU campus, if that far. And State's not even really in the discussion for some of these guys. You know, Shoemaker hasn't visited State. I don't know if Barry has or not. Was it Turner? Turner visited this past weekend, and State thought they made up some ground, and they maybe did make up some ground, but it wasn't enough, and now he's committed to Ole Miss. And so you look at Lebby, and you see a coach who's, you know, his record is what it is. His record is what it is. The recruiting has not been of a super high nature. A coach that, by and large, doesn't do a lot to promote his own program. Doesn't really get out there. You know, State doesn't do a road dogs tour anymore. He doesn't go around the state and speak to people. You know, he doesn't do a ton of interviews. There's just not a lot of juice around Mississippi State. And somebody makes this is a good point. There's a numerous chances to win mean competitive. Yes, but what I would say is, going into those games, I don't think Mississippi State fans believed they had much of a chance to win. They ended up being surprised their team was in the game. And as opposed to when Mullen was here, I think outside, you know, when State played Alabama, I never really thought State was going to win those games. But most of the time when State went hit the field with Mullen was here, I thought State had a chance to win the games. Just, you know, not Alabama. But, of course, he's playing the best Alabama program of all time at that point. So I can live with that. And I don't know what the answer is for Mississippi State. I feel like Mississippi State fans have done their part. You know, Mississippi State raised a ton of money last year. We all saw that graphic. Their NIL coffers are in a good spot, regardless of what fans from other teams and what other media want to say. I just know that unless people are looking me right here in the eye and saying they're just lying to me, then, you know, I think State's problems are, from a football perspective, are that the recruiting portion of it isn't good. I think that State's coaches aren't great recruiters. You know, and the comment we've made a few times is that, how do I put it? Like, it's not Amazon. You can't just click defensive tackle and one drops into the cart. You do have to recruit these guys. And when the money's all the same, it does become – and so, this sounds kind of weird because I do believe money is the most important thing, 100% right now. The guys are going to go 99 times out of 100. They're going to go where the best offer is. But when the offers are similar or close enough, it becomes about those relationships. And if you're not doing a good job of fostering those, this is how you end up. Some people tell me that State's strategy is to focus on the portal. Well, that's fine, but they're not dropping huge bags on anybody in the portal. They didn't have, you know, who did they get in the portal that was just, you know, coveted by everybody else in college football? You know, they were in the Jordan Seaton sweepstakes, that's sure. But I said this on the podcast, I think they would have been better served going after, you know, the number three or four left tackle in the portal and maybe spending, you know, half of what you were going to give to Seaton and then spending that other half on a pass rusher or a more proven tight end or, you know, another quality interior offensive lineman. You could have been smarter with the way they spent the money. Instead, they ended up, you know, I just assume they still have it. I assume that money is gathering interest. And that's interest that may not have a chance to get spent by this current staff. Now, I'll give Levy this, that since he's been here, State has been a more active team in the later stages of recruiting than they were ever before. You guys know that Mullen was not a late recruiter. He was the guy who filled up the class in the summer. And then it was hold on for dear life. And he always lost some guys every year. And then he would go out and he'd find, but, you know, the beauty of Mullen back then was, okay, he'd go out and find some guy that nobody else wanted and he'd turn him into a really good player. And in some cases, he'd turn him into a potential NFL guy. That's harder to do these days. Last year, State, you know, late in the process, what, flipped three high three-star, four-star guys and added them to the class and picked up some quality guys along the way. So maybe that's going to be the case. Maybe if Levy can have a good season, he can win 7-plus games, which, again, I've said this a few times now, it is year three for Jeff Levy, and all I'm saying is, can you be close to being in the top 25? Not asking for a national title, not asking to be in the playoff, not really even asking to contend for the playoff. Can you be an 8-win team and finish the year in a good bowl game and maybe ranked like 19th or 20th in the country? If that is a too high expectation for Jeff Levy in year three, got much bigger issues than what we're talking about here on this program. But if he can do that, maybe he can have enough traction late to come in late, big NIL offer, and try to flip some of these guys. I don't know if that strategy will work. Obviously, you know, Ole Miss has got money in the banana stand as well. And obviously Ole Miss, I think, is going to be coming off another really good season because they certainly have a super talented roster. So that's going to be a difficult proposition. I feel like it would be easier for State if these guys were committed elsewhere, if they were committed out of State. Getting him from Ole Miss is going to be tough. I mean, there's no question about that. Right now, the top 10 prospects for Mississippi, there are only the number 10 is committed to Mississippi State. Does State have a football GM? Yes, everybody has a football GM. Mark Votler is State's GM. For all the hand-wringing, State finished 25th last year in recruiting. Ole Miss finished 24th. You're correct. You're not wrong about that. And from a high school perspective, you're right. What was it in the transfer portal, though? So that's how you want to look at that. Ole Miss is in a good spot this year with recruiting. It's a long way to December. If State wins this year, things will change drastically come late November, December with these in-state guys, Cody and Tupelo. You could be right. You could be right. That's too high an expectation. If that's too high an expectation, Josh, you got the wrong guy in there. If you're telling me that Kurt Cignetti can win a national championship in 2 years and Jeff Lebby can't win 8 games in 3 years, that's not great. That's not what you want to hear. Blue chip linemen have zero confidence in their chances of getting the league with this current coaching staff. I mean, I understand that. Now, Zach Arnett should give them a little bit more confidence. He's put guys in the NFL, maybe not defensive linemen, although Marquise Spencer was drafted under him. Cam Young was drafted under him. I'm trying to think, has anybody else been drafted under Zach Arnett? Tyrus Wheat was drafted. So a little bit of that, so we'll see. Ed in Columbus, name one SEC team besides Mississippi State that would hire him as a head coach. You're correct, and that's something that we've talked about before. You know, if Jeff Lebby were on the open market, how much interest would he really get, even when he was hired? Start out, if we lose to Minnesota and South Carolina, start out 1-2, fire him. Wow. And Ed has always been a guy who's gotten on me for being negative at times, so that's a tough one there. Sam Lejeune just committed to Florida State. So 3 4-star defensive linemen in the state of Mississippi. 2 going to Ole Miss, 1 going to Florida State. None of them are going to Mississippi State. That's a problem. This is the university of Chris Jones and Fletcher Cox and Josh Boyd and Preston Smith and Jeff Simmons and Montez Sweat and Denico Autry, and I can keep going. And you're not getting any of those guys? That's tough. That's a tough look. How can State be better this year? Unfortunately, I think it falls on the shoulders of one man. And I'm not talking about Jeff Lebby, and I'm not talking about Zach Arnett. I'm talking about Kamario Taylor. I'm going to give you a statement, and then we'll go into the break, and we'll talk about it when we come back. But is Kamario Taylor carrying the biggest burden in the SEC this year? Does any player have more on their shoulders in terms of how good their team is going to be based on his performance than the Bulldog quarterback? We'll talk about that when we come back. Thunder and Lightning Live, presented by Dotson Big Four. We'll be back in just a minute.
The One Box. Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
Suddenly feel like I'm back at Cheers on a Saturday night. Let's go. Dollar Wells. You know, you know. Thunder and Lightning, Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for joining me here on a Wednesday. If you ever miss this show, if you ever miss Sports Talk Mississippi, if you ever want more information about your favorite teams, the Bulldogs, the Rebels, the Golden Eagles, we've got it all at supertalk.fm, or you can subscribe to any of our Super Talk podcasts. Thunder and Lightning podcast 5 days a week, plus this show, so you're getting a lot of content there. The Rebel Report, the Eagle Hour, Sports Talk Mississippi presented commercial-free. Subscribe wherever you get podcasts from. Go to the C Spire text line here for a couple of comments here. From Bubba and Starville, State is losing in recruiting, period. End of conversation, which means they will most likely not have a winning season. Again, if it does not win 7, clean house, including the AD. I disagree on that last little bit there, Bubba. I think Selman has done a good job. He's done enough that he would get a second hire. But he came in behind the eight ball and has got State, at least from a fundraising standpoint, from a facility standpoint, to the place where they need to be. I certainly would not move on from Zach Selman. But if Lebby is not good this year, yeah, that's something there. This one's even harsher. Agree. 1-2 start, fire his you know what. If State fans want to buy fans, if State wants fans to buy back into the football program, we should hire a true head coach, someone the fans can get excited about. I agree 100%. If they do have to move on from Lebby at the end of this season, you have to hire a proven head coach. You cannot go the coordinator route. You can't even really go with a guy who's like 1 or 2 years. So you got to get some proven. You got to put some money out there. Pay a coach $7, $8, $9 million. It may have to be that way, but that's the only way forward. You know, and I think your first call has to be to Dan Mullen. and maybe Charles Huff after that, and I don't know who the third guy would be, but they're out there. We definitely have to stop the bleeding. We've been losing our athletes to out-of-state teams. That's something else that's happened a lot in the last 5-6 years is it used to be Mississippi State and Ole Miss would kind of chop up maybe 7 or 8 of the top 10, and then a couple guys would go out of state, and now it's the other way around. You're seeing 7 or 8 guys go out of state, and State and Ole Miss are trying to chop up those last 2 or 3 guys. So that's got to get fixed as well. I would not mind if this is a baseball one. I would not mind if Mississippi State brought in one more guy to challenge for a weekend spot in the rotation. You never know about injuries, and competition is a great thing. I absolutely agree with you. The problem is this. If you're a guy who's got starting potential, are you going to go to Mississippi State and say, you know, hey, they've got Valinkas and McPherson and Stone, maybe Bauer, and, you know, I'm not guaranteed anything. I'm going to have to really compete. In all likelihood, I'm probably just going to be a bullpen piece. That's a tough sell. It's a tough sell for O'Connor. So my thought is just get the best arms you can, and if one of them shows up as a starter, that's fine. Let's talk about Kamario Taylor. I want to start with the thing I've been saying since I've seen this kid is that I think the ceiling is incredibly high for Kamario. I think he has the potential to be an all-SEC quarterback. I think that he has the potential to be an NFL guy. He has all the physical tools in the world. I also believe in Jeff Lebby's offense. Believe, you know, as much as I just was downing everything a few minutes ago, Lebby's offense, we did the statistical stuff on the podcast last week. The average Jeff Lebby quarterback in his years as an offensive coordinator and now as a head coach throws for about 3,000 yards, throws for about 25 to 27 touchdowns. I'm sorry, 3,300 yards. 3,300 is the average. 25 to 27 touchdowns, rushes for about 400 yards. I think you can probably add 200 to 300 yards for Kamario this year. So if I can get a quarterback who's at 3,300 yards passing and 600 to 700 yards rushing, I feel really good about where Kamario Taylor is, and I would probably feel pretty good about where Mississippi State is. We're making some assumptions here. Let's do that. I feel like if you said on a scale of 1 to 10, how confident are you Mississippi State's defense will be better than it was a season ago? That's like a 9 or a 10. Never mind that I feel like they have more talent. I feel like the biggest thing is having a real defensive coordinator, a guy who's done it before, who understands how defense works. Arnett and Brock, too. Brock is an underrated piece of that. Those two guys were really successful together. I think they will elevate this defense, and they will be much, much better than they were a season ago. Okay? Yeah, there's three assumptions we have to make for Mississippi State to be successful this year. That's the first one. I feel very confident in that. Number two is the offensive line. Will it be better? On a scale of 1 to 10, I'm probably closer to a 4 or 5 on this one. I do like some of the pieces they've added, but there's some young, inexperienced guys. It could be a group that, if they keep it together, could be really good next year. But this year, I'm not 100% sure. And the way I feel about Arnett, where I have confidence, I have the opposite with Phil Loadhold. I don't buy into that guy as a great offensive line coach. State's offensive line got worse each and every week last year. So that's a huge problem. And then there's the Kamario Taylor question, and that's how good can he be? Can he be a quarterback that lifts everyone else around him? If you watch Kamario Taylor play, especially in high school, the Cam Newton comparisons were being made. Now, Cam Newton, if you ask me to tell you the top three greatest college football players of all time, especially in terms of just having a single season, Cam Newton is going to be on my list. He's going to be in there somewhere, and he's probably not three. This is a guy who carried an offense that had no other NFL players. Nobody on that offense played a snap in the National Football League other than him. And defensively, I think it was only one other guy, Nick Fairley. That's it. And that team won a national title. It's an unfair comparison to say that he could be like that. But he's going to have that kind of impact, is Kamario Taylor. He's going to carry this team because, I'm not entirely sure about that offensive line. I like Bothwell in the backfield, but I don't know who's complimenting him. I like Anthony Evans, but everything else is an unknown. I will give Lebby the benefit of the doubt on receivers. He went and found Brennan Thompson last year. He went and found Anthony Evans. Those are two guys that didn't have a lot of production, and he turned them into big-time players. But Taylor is going to have to be a guy that week in and week out is between 250 and 300 passing and between 70 and 100 rushing. If he can, now, those are big numbers. And there'll be some weeks where he has more passing and less rushing. There'll be some weeks where he has less passing and more rushing. You know, but he needs to be around the 325 to 350 total offense mark almost every game. And if he can do that, And I can get the other two things. This can be an 8-win team that nobody wants to play because they've got this freak alien quarterback and they're just a salty defense and they can beat you. But if I can't get those three things, I'll worry. And so with Taylor, this is a guy who's right now he's carrying the burden of this entire fan base who look at him as a savior despite the fact that he's 0-2 as a starter. Say what you want. The man's 0-2 as a starter. Did he rush the ball effectively against Ole Miss and look impressive at times? He did. Did he do the same against Wake Forest? He did. Did State win either one of those games? They did not. They did not. But we've put our hopes onto this guy and said, this is the savior. He's got to elevate us. That's a lot of pressure. His first start of the season will be his third start of his career. So you have that. He has the pressure of, whether he knows it or not, Jeff Lebby's job is on his shoulders. If Levy's going to survive this season, it's because Taylor has a great year. So who's under more pressure than him in the SEC this year? Not Chambliss. Golding's not getting fired. Then that's not going to happen. Ole Miss fans aren't looking for a savior. They're looking to have a repeat performance. Arch? Maybe. Sarkisian doesn't make the playoff a second straight year. He could be in trouble there, but it's Texas. They're not going to be bad. You know? Maybe Keelon Russell over at Alabama because they want to get back to where they were and they feel like he can elevate them. But I don't know that any quarterback in the conference is carrying the weight, especially in terms of what is needed from him. So we'll see. Alabama is 62 in recruiting. Do we think that they will be there? No, they will be top 10. State will be 20 to 25 in the recruiting rankings at the end of the year. December is what matters. We hope. We hope. I mean, we don't know for sure. Are there any key improvements on the offensive line? I mean, they brought in some guys, but they're not proven guys. They didn't bring in anybody who, I mean, DJ Chester is the most proven guy that they brought in. And he's the guy that, you know, they was playing out of position at LSU. I think he's a much better interior offensive lineman. That's where they're going to play him, so hopefully he can improve things there. Brought back Jet Johnson to help the coach linebackers. I like having former players like that around. And I think Jet Johnson is a future defensive coordinator in the college football. He's a smart kid. If there's hardly an offensive line to block, will Taylor have more rushing yards than projected? Well, I mean, that's one way to look at it. But at the same time, sacks count against your rushing yards. So it could balance itself out. Have you not seen the commitments this week? MSU won't get any. We just talked about that. Where were you on that one? Sellers. Who? Who is Sellers? Did I miss something? I don't know. Somebody gives me the 8 wins and the look at State's schedule. Here, I've got it right here. The three big ifs. Oh, Lenora Sellers. What about him? Has he got more on his shoulders? That's a good question. Beamer is on the hot seat. Yeah, he might be. He's in the discussion there for sure. But for State, 8 wins. If you told me that I get all three, line's better, defense is better, Kamari Taylor plays at a high level, they'll win their 3 non-conference, they can beat South Carolina, Missouri, Vandy, Auburn, and then can they win one more out of Alabama, LSU, Oklahoma, Texas, Ole Miss? Yeah. If I got those three things to be true statements, they absolutely could do that. Will they do that, though? Will those three ifs, Taylor playing at a high level, offensive line being much improved, and defense being much improved, if I get all three of those things, it's a team that could do something. If I get two of those things, it could still be a team that does some stuff. But I gotta have some of those things happen. We'll see. I got some good news when we come back. Not necessarily Mississippi State sports related, but maybe a little.
Rutgers do.
On Super Talk Mississippi.
If they call a celebration penalty on this, I'll shoot them.
Let's wrap it up on a Wednesday evening. Thunder and Lightning Live, Super Talk, Mississippi. Appreciate you guys tuning in. A lot of action tonight on the C Spire text line. I really appreciate it. Always happy to talk some Mississippi State sports with you guys, even when it's, you know, even when we're talking about some of the bad stuff. Let's get it out of our systems. Don't let it stay in. Let it out. So appreciate you guys tuning in, as always. You know, hey, Dad, after all the rosy expectations of State today, I may have to start drinking again. Dave from Ripley. If you're a Mississippi State fan and you stop drinking, well, I'm more power to you, sir. Congratulations on getting away from it for a little while. All right. I wanted to talk about this for just a moment. Friend of the show and friend of mine, Paul Jones from Maroon and White Daily on 3 Sports, been battling some health issues. Apparently got really close, you know, according to what I've been reading on Facebook from his wife and his friends, that you know, we may have almost lost him. And that's a really good guy, a great father, husband, hardworking guy, and one of the funniest guys. He got that great dry sense of humor. You know, just knows when to make the quip. And I have enjoyed sitting by him in the football press box and men's basketball games this past decade that I've been doing this plus. But apparently he's on the mend. He's on the recovery. So everybody who said a prayer, I know we've mentioned it here on Thunder and Lightning. We've mentioned it on the podcast. We mentioned it on the radio show. Appreciate you guys for that because, you know, obviously the power of prayer is unmatched. And I really want to thank you guys for doing that. He's doing a great job. He's feeling better, and we're going to get him back up. I can't wait. I need to see this guy in the press box next to me walking in. And my favorite joke of his is if State wins a game, he'll find something else random that happened and be like, you don't just walk into Davis Wade Stadium on the day Brian Haydad wears a gray shirt and beat Mississippi State. It never fails to crack me up. He'll find the most random thing to do that. So good stuff. From the C Spire text line, these are fun, just venting sessions with Uncle Haydad. I'm the uncle that mom doesn't want to bring. Is he coming to Thanksgiving? Not him. Great program tonight, just talking State football. We'll get better. I'll be honest with you. I think maybe I'm just an idiot, right? Maybe I'm just a homer, but there is a path for Lebby to get better this year, but it's got to be soon, right? And we talked about that schedule. Here's your first 4 games: ULM, at Minnesota, at South Carolina, Missouri. Your next 4 games after that are Alabama, at LSU, Oklahoma, at Texas. You dang well better be 3-1 at worst after those first 4. If you're 2-2, the season is over. If you're 1-3, I'd just go ahead and make the move. I'd just go ahead and get it over with. Rip the Band-Aid off. Interim coach, somebody asked, would it be Zach Gardett? It would not. I think they just make Philip Montgomery the interim coach. But That first 4 games. Look, if State's 3-1 after the first 4, they're going to go to a bowl game. I would absolutely. Now, I say that they were 4-0 last year, but it's a different 4-0. If they're 3-1 and they've beaten 3 or 2 Power 4 teams at that point, they would have either beaten Minnesota and one SEC team, or they would have beaten, you know, 2 SEC teams and lost to Minnesota. However it works, I would feel a lot better. I thought even last year when they were 4-0, I was like, okay, they're going to be fine. They're going to go to a bowl game. And it ended up not being that way because the team just – I've never seen a team get worse each week. They kind of peaked in the Texas game, and then it was just slid off a hill. Georgia and Missouri and Ole Miss embarrassed them. They got to go to a bowl game, and they played poorly in that. And it was just – Levy was so close to – being, if State had held on and won those 3 games, Tennessee, Texas, Florida, right? And State had gone 8-4 last year. What are we talking about with Levy right now and Kamario Taylor? We're talking about, like, that's a dark horse playoff team. Watch out for Mississippi State. But because they lost those games, we have the opposite prediction. Just let the team look decent and we will be okay as fans. I agree. That Minnesota game is going to be interesting, right? They go up to Minnesota and Kamario Taylor just physically manhandles them and State just wins that game something like 31-17, 31-20. I think you come out of that and you're like, all right, they're going to be okay. Now, again, I thought that after the Arizona State game last year. So maybe I need to wait till week 3 and see how they play at South Carolina. That South Carolina game, the loser of that game, I think is getting fired. I'll just say that right now. I think the loser of South Carolina-Mississippi State is going to be without a job by the end of the season. Beamer's on a hot seat. Levy's on a hot seat. Levy's hot seat doesn't get talked about a lot nationally because State went from 2 to 5 wins. Right? They improved. But you and I, the people who watch every game and the people who support Mississippi State and buy the tickets, we know you can't have another season like that. You got to have another step forward. You got to go from 5 to 7 or 8 wins. Can you do that? Well, that's what we're going to talk about for the next couple of months. Appreciate you guys joining me here on a Wednesday evening. I'll be back with you tomorrow on Sports Talk Mississippi. U.S. Team USA tomorrow night, right now?
9 o'clock.
9 o'clock is 8 o'clock, I thought.
That's when the pregame starts.
Okay. 9 o'clock. I'll stay up. I'm a sicko. I know you will. Talk to you guys tomorrow. For Rhino, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning Live, Super Talk, Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.